folks, welcome to Camp Constitution Radio and the Camp Constitution Report. The Camp Constitution Report, of course, is on catchingfire.news. And if you have not signed up for it, I actually ask you to do so. Not only just sign up, but also to view all of the other hosts and share this great information. If you're listening, it will be on WBCQ The Planet every Monday and Thursday evening, 7:30 p.m., and also on numerous platforms, Podomatic, Amazon, Spotify, and I don't know, about another dozen or so more. And you can also go to the Rumble page of Catching Fire News, and also these videos are posted there. And before I interview, before we bring on our guest, I just want to mention, last week we celebrated, I believe, our nation's one of the most important holidays that our nation has set aside. And if you go to our blog, I've got a lot of great resources up there. I have George Washington's first Thanksgiving Day proclamation. I've got a presentation that we had at our camp, at our annual family camp in 2020. It was done by my late friend Pastor Lear, who was one of the top experts, or was, on the Pilgrims, the history of the Pilgrims. But I also want to bring your attention to something called the Jenney Museum, jenney.org is the website. And there's a incredible museum right in downtown Plymouth, Massachusetts. And it was an old grist mill owned by one of the Pilgrims. His name was John Jenney, and he was also a judge. And Leo Martin, he does some great work. There's a documentary, which actually is a full-fledged, like an hour and a half long, and that's called Monumental. But then he does a little short presentation in right in front of the Forefathers Monument, which is in Plymouth, and it's about a half hour long. And we just showed it to a group the other day. And I don't know if you're watching, you might be able to see this. I was a little bit too glare. But I recommend you just go to their website, thejenney.org, and they have some great resources there. But the left has, of course, attacked anything that's traditional in this country. The left has attacked. And there are lots of people that just don't have enough information and aren't really able to, to counter or to weigh in on the argument, or even come away with information. So that's why it's so important. The Pilgrims were an incredible group of people, and I happen to be a Mayflower descendant, like I think 10% of the population of this country, and I'm very proud of that. The Pilgrims had a very good rapport with the Indians. They did not steal their land. In fact, they did take some of their food when they first landed, and they did repay them. So they were starving to death, and they did take some food, but they did repay them. They had a treaty with Massasoit, the chief of the Wampanoags, that lasted until his death. And there was an incident in about 10 years into the treaty where an Indian was actually murdered by a couple of the settlers. And the Indians didn't think there'd be any justice. And in fact, there was justice. And the two of the men, the third man couldn't be found, but the two of the men were hanged, found guilty and hanged. And that's when the Indians realized that these people were sincere. And also, Massasoit was deathly ill, and it was John Winslow, one of the Pilgrim members of the community, actually walked something like 45 miles south into Rhode Island and nursed him back to health. And that was showed this great relationship they had with the Indians. This is not the Howard Zinn version, of course, that you hear, but this is the true version. So anyway, many of you have been watching this show or listening on the radio are familiar with our lawsuit that we won against the city of Boston dealing with the Christian flag, and you can see the Christian flag behind me, at least I see most of it. So I'll just give a quick little recap. The city, we wanted to fly the Christian flag on Boston City Hall Plaza, where they fly other flags, what they used to until they canceled the policy or the program, where they fly flags. Civic organizations or even private individuals would apply for a permit and then fly their flag, and if it's a group, it'd be a ceremony, speakers, and so forth. And we were going to have several speakers about Boston's rich Christian history, the need for racial harmony, and a few other topics. We want to do it around Constitution Day of September 17. The city said no, and it spent, we took almost 5 years through the courts after the U.S. Supreme Court in May, they ruled 9-0. And on August 2nd, we had our one-time only flag raising. We had a couple hundred people there. It was an incredible event. But since the case was decided, even before, I get news from people around the country in various towns and cities where the selectmen have changed the policy. I think it was just a few days ago in Connecticut, I think it was Wethersfield, Connecticut, decided against having any third-party flag raising. Only flags that will be allowed with the U.S. flag, the state flag, and the town flag, and the POW MIA flag. And that means the rainbow flag won't be flying. And I think it was right in the wake of our decision back in May, I heard from Beth Scholar, who's coming right up. Beth, how you doing?
Oh, good. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, so Beth, she lives nearby. She's in Nashua, New Hampshire. Actually, moving up to where I am now, when I lived in Boston, you were closer to me than you are now. You're about an hour and a half, 2 hours away. But Nashua is a small city that practically borders Massachusetts. So tell us tell the millions of viewers around the world and listeners a little bit about your background, and then we can go into the so-called controversy that you've stirred up in Nashua.
I'm a software engineer. We've been living here in Nashua since the early 90s. Used to be a more conservative city, but it's been drifting left, and we are just trying to, you know, hold the line here in Nashua and, you know, represent some conservative values here. And that's one of the reasons we flew the flag.
And would you call yourself a conservative or Christian or patriot activist?
I've never used the word patriot activist, but yeah, conservative Christian. Yeah. And definitely we do a lot of actions.
That's wonderful. Well, besides the flag, give us some other examples. Because the focus of this show would be local success stories, or local people at least making an effort to do something positive in the community. Can you give some of before you got involved with this flag issue, some other things that you may have done over the last several years?
Well, I've been helping out for several years with the 40 Days for Life in Manchester.
Oh, wonderful.
Manchester, New Hampshire, outside the Planned Parenthood. We've had two campaigns every year for I don't know how many years, and that's raised a lot of awareness for the abortions they're doing regularly. We've been taking action on the sexual mutilation of children, the grooming and sexual mutilation of children. We've done a couple rallies outside the Boston Children's Hospital, and the last one we did with Billboard Chris. And there's so many things I can't think of them all. But you know, we're always out speaking out at the State House, at the legislative hearings, trying to help Cornerstone protect the Fetal Life Protection Act.
And Cornerstone is the New Hampshire Focus on the Family affiliate, correct?
Yeah, and they had a big success story. I think it's the first state in the country that went from having no restrictions on abortion to having restrictions. And the Fetal Life Protection Act restricts abortion in after 24 weeks. And now it's under great peril. So I've been trying to help with that.
What's interesting is New Hampshire has a reputation of being a moderately conservative state, live free or die. Yet there were no restrictions on abortion up until last year. And
yeah.
I think it was a high percent. In fact, people have come in from other states to come into New Hampshire to have abortions. Is that correct?
Oh, Planned Parenthood's been saying that. They've been bragging about how people come here for abortions. But I don't think anyone's seen any evidence of that. I mean, people come here, you know, for whatever reason. People travel here, you know, because they have a cheaper cheaper a rate for abortions or whatever, or because it's
Yeah.
just convenient. But that's something Planned Parenthood's been trying to play up, and I think it's ridiculous. I do, there is concern about, how many abortions are being performed after 24 weeks, and where they might be performed, because there's no statistics kept at
Yeah.
all. So there's no way
By
of
the way,
knowing.
I made up some signs, some yard signs that read, "Fight racism, defund Planned Parenthood." I'll get you one at some point if you put up in front of
Oh,
your house.
I have a friend who would really love that, an immigrant from Barbados who ran for state rep,
Oh,
and
great.
he
All
had
right.
some conversations about that with people about who Planned Parenthood was targeting.
Well, next time I'm in the general area, I'm making an effort to. I think we were supposed to have lunch one time, but it was a conflict. We did work out, but we'll make it happen sometime soon. So, by the way, I had a dear friend that lived in Nashua. His name was Al Tollmeyer. He passed away, I think, in 01, 02. He was in his 90s when he passed away, but he was quite the activist. He was a policeman. He was also a, I think he was school committee for a short time, one or two terms. And he was always writing letters in the Nashua Telegraph. But there was a company in Nashua back in the 80s that was inviting some Soviets, some Russians, and they flew the Russian flag. And Al went right down. This was on private property. I mean, you can, it's one thing to have a flag on on town property, but he actually took the flag down and said, "If you want it, you're gonna have to come to my house and get it." And it made national news. No one ever picked. No one ever went to his house. Anyway, so Beth, tell us about your flag issue here in Nashua.
Well, back in June 2017, then the city of Nashua established the Citizens Flagpole Program, where the first flag they put up was the Pride flag, and
Of
in June
course.
2017. And then they opened it up to any citizen to put up a flag on the flagpole. Just fill out an application, and you could fly it for a week from Saturday to Friday. And I was super excited about that. The first flag we put up was the Lutheran Rose flag to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And there was no problem. It was there was no controversy. I encouraged other people to do it. The New Hampshire Liberty Alliance every year puts up the porcupine flag, the Free Staters flag, which you would think would be controversial. Someone's even flown the Christian flag without controversy.
Oh, really? Good, good.
And then, but in 2020, I applied to put up the Save Women's Sports flag, and I was. I had no reason to hide anything from them. I put all the information down on the application. I wanted to commemorate Selena Sewell's a fundraiser by Saving Women's Sports to celebrate Selena Sewell. The young woman in Connecticut who lost out to the men.
Oh yes, right. Was that a
Yeah,
track?
she.
That was a track. Yeah, running.
Yeah, track and field, a track and field championship, a state track and field championship. She lost out on a place. She lost out an award. She lost out on scholarships. She lost out on a chance to try out for college coaches. So that was what we were celebrating. And so we put up the flag. And my friend who is runs the Twitter account, No Puberty Blockers for Children, was there with me and my husband Stephen, and we took pictures and a video and put it on Facebook, and that's when the trouble started. So this was August 2020, I think, or September 2020, and
You have a picture of the flag that you did you design this yourself?
I have the flag. Well, I have this is from the Save Women Sports organization. SaveWomenSports.com is where you can find them. Beth Steltzer runs it. And I have the flag here in my room. And it was fantastic. It was a great time. But as soon as the leftists heard about it, they were furious. they could not tolerate it. And the first thing I heard about it was a comment on the video. Someone found the video, you know, went to the video, left a comment, and I knew that it was coming down. And that was Saturday morning. Early Sunday morning, according to witnesses, at 8 a.m., two city workers were dispatched to remove the flag. And the city didn't contact me. I was calling and calling Monday morning, trying to find out what happened. I was afraid I would never see my flag again. And they did get it back to me and said, gave some generic message that it just didn't fit the city, mm-hmm. what the city wanted on the flagpole, even though they approved
it. The city of Nashville is basically saying that, no, we think it's okay for men to compete against women, men who call themselves women, and basically deny them opportunities because some mediocre male athlete can become a competitor by saying that I'm now a woman, and that's what's happening. It's interesting. I was debating some leftist on a local Facebook page on the abortion. And the woman said, I'm a second-class citizen. I said, oh, no, you become a second-class citizen. Nothing to do with nothing about losing the right to an abortion, women's reproductive health rights. I said, but you, because men are now taking the place of women in women's sports and beauty contests. Believe it or not, in Derry, New Hampshire, there was a teenage, it was Miss New Hampshire, or Miss, I guess it was different from different towns. And this male, very unattractive, overweight male, ends up winning. And I'm watching a little video of it, and I see these poor girls are applauding this male. Now, the woman who wins this Miss New Hampshire contest goes on to other things, other opportunities, as you mentioned, scholarships and even maybe endorsements as time goes on. But now, because these judges chose really a fat man, to me it's an insult. You see how these very beautiful young ladies. Now, if you don't like beauty contests, then that's fine. But if you're gonna have a beauty contest, you think there should be, and we know that beauty isn't just, you know, physical, there's other things that judge beauty, of course. But you got this so-called trans man, or a trans woman, and I think you're about three times the size of all the other, wearing a big old, looked like it was wearing an overcoat. And to me, it's a mockery. And I see people cheering it. It's like the emperor has no clothes. And this is what's so sad, is that these women, I mean, they compete so different. There are some sports that women excel in, where men can't, gymnastics, forget it. Men can't be at that level. But when it comes to most competitive sports, swimming, basketball, and all the men are going to do much better. There's no question about it.
Skateboarding.
But women compete at a different level, and it doesn't mean they're not great athletes. And they're into. But when you get a man competing, men are at least twice as strong as most women. It's just the way God created us, like it or not. See, and to me, this culture has really, really gone down the drain. When we, bad enough that you get someone who, you know, changes the, gets things removed surgically and calls himself a woman. But now you're getting these men not even making any, this particular beauty contest winner didn't make any attempt to look like a woman.
Well, so, his name is Brian, and he's Brian. So, it's not even, he's not even pretending to be a woman. He's just wearing a dress.
It's absolutely, maybe I should consider, maybe I have a chance. I'd put a pair of kilts on. I might have a good chance. I think I'm a little better looking than Brian on my worst day. We laugh at it, but it's just so tragic. So
it is.
Now, this, talk a little bit about this organization that you're involved with, Save Women's Sports.
Yeah, Beth Stelzer started that because, you know, she saw all the women losing out on in their sports competitions, and she just couldn't be quiet about it. And she's just done a lot. She puts out news stories on her website. She keeps track of a lot of the men that have, you know, dominated women's sports. She has flags and signs and other, you know, brochures that you can give out. You can order from her store, and she's just done an insane amount of work to raise awareness. And there's a great picture if you go to her website or her Facebook page. There's a great picture of her at the NCAA Swim Championships last year, where Leah Thomas dominated the women's competitions, standing there with the Save Women's Sports flag over the, you know, in at the top of the arena, and just looking really fierce and attracting a lot of attention. That picture, you know, went net international, and
Now, was
it
she
just
on?
shows how wonderful she is.
She's a young lady in maybe 20s. Is that the same person?
Oh, no, Bestelser, no, she's older than that. She's got older kids, and but it all started when she was competing in amateur weightlifting, and her organization kept men out, but there was a huge there was a protest at one of her events where the guy disrupted the event because he wasn't allowed to compete, and that's when she knew this was big trouble.
Interesting, interesting. Yeah, I think there was a young lady I met in D.C. Recently. She was with the group, Concerned Women for America, or Young Women of America, and she was the one that was at one of these meets. The swimmer, what's his name?
Leah
The male,
Thomas,
yeah,
formerly
Leah Thomas,
William Thomas.
and in quotation mark, Leah. And there
Yeah.
was all kinds of. She had a lot of support, but there was a lot of leftists protesting. Leftists, what's gone with your brains? I mean, you may have some issues, but when it comes to this, are you really expecting the average American to fall for this? I mean, women, men competing in women's sports, and you have your Antifa people out there defending this. Are you? I guess they are insane. What was it, Michael? Who was the talk show host? Michael Savage had said that liberalism is a mental disorder. This is really ridiculous, and
I think a
I'm.
lot of people just can't believe it's happening. They're just dumbfounded.
I think more people just have to speak up. What's the website of this group that you were mentioning?
SaveWomenSports.com.
Okay, and where are they based? Do you know?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Okay, but it's happening all over the country. It's not just in blue states. It's in red states. It's just everywhere. And until enough people speak up, this is going to continue and get much worse, unfortunately. Now you're having men who are convicted of crimes, calling themselves women, then being put into a women's prison, and then impregnating some of the women inmates. And this is and now you also led protest in or were involved in protests at Massachusetts Children's Hospital, Boston Children's Hospital,
Yeah.
which by the way was supposed to have been one of the best in the world. Now we used to live within like a half hour for 20-minute ride. And we've used it from a couple of times where my son and was there a few times, and people would have to pay. Just parents would have to spend overnight or long periods of time in the area, and we were so blessed. We were just 20 minutes away. It wasn't a big deal. We took it for granted. But they did something a few years ago where they held a young girl from Connecticut against the parents' wishes. Thankfully, that ended up in the parents got the child back, but it was a lot of outcry. It took a lot of outcry, public outcry, and finally, and I think the gal has never fully recovered from her ailment.
No.
But now they're actually advertising these so-called gender reassignment surgeries, which to me is an abomination. You can't reassign the gender. But they're also doing hysterectomies on young girls, perfectly healthy. And to me, what's the right word? It's not just abuse, but when it's one thing if you cut out a diseased organ, but if I went to the hospital and I said, "Hey, I got a broken finger, can you set it?" and they cut it off, I think I'd have a case against them, right? But hey, the finger's broken, but you could fix it, right? So why cut it off? But now they're removing women's breasts, and they're leaving these hideous scars across their chest. and they're taking out, and this stuff can't be reversed. So tell us a little bit about that as well, as we get about 5 minutes left.
Well, the first time we went there with no puberty blockers for children. The lady who runs that Twitter account, and she has a grandson who goes to the clinic there, the gender clinic for Boston Children's Hospital, and he's being put through the whole process. I believe the puberty blockers and all that follows that, and the puberty blockers are depriving kids of bone development, brain development, leaving them with no sexual function. And the kids,
They're being poisoned, in other words.
it's da seriously damaging their bodies, and they're doing double mastectomies on 15-year-old girls because of a mental condition. And they
Wow.
claim
I
that the
know in most
hysterect
states you can't. I was going to say, some states you can't get tattoos. They don't allow them, or you can't get one until you're a certain age, like 20 and 21. But if you watch a TikTok video and say, gee, I'm really a girl, or I'm really a boy, I'm going to go down to Boston Children's Hospital. And they're making tons of money off this, too. That's what's so sick about it. It's bad enough that they're mutilating people, but it's really about money. They know. There was this woman from the hospital. She was a doctor, I guess. And she's saying that children know their gender when they're in their womb. Oh, really? That's kind of interesting. Then why do you kill them if they know their gender in the womb? Why would you kill them in the womb? She sort of contradicts herself. And she says, children know their gender in the womb. Well, we know that John knew who Jesus was in the womb, right? But the idea of a baby, unborn baby, knows what gender it is and can somehow communicate that is just. And these are the same people that have the signs on their lawn that says science is real, correct?
Yes, exactly. The same people don't believe that the science that men are stronger than women and shouldn't compete in their sports, and that kids shouldn't have their puberty blocked because it permanently damages their bodies. But I mean, the good news is that the word is getting out. The New York Times just had an article last week about the dangers of puberty blockers, which I never thought I'd see the day that would happen.
Amazing. Well, I just heard the Washington Post had an article saying that more people that have been fully vaxxed and boosted are dying of COVID than the unvaccine. Now, that was
Wow.
almost illegal. You put that, and you posted that a year ago on your Facebook page, and your page would be taken down. You've had people harass you, saying that you're killing people, you're misinformation, and now we know it's true. It's like putting zip ties on basketball nets in public playgrounds is somehow going to stop the virus. That's what they were doing too, and arresting people. There was a guy surfboarding all by himself somewhere. I think it was in, I forget it was it maybe Connecticut somewhere, and they arrested the guy all by himself, no one around for probably a mile, and they arrested him because he's spreading COVID. So I know that this madness and it. I'm hoping. I heard one of the people say, 100 years from now, they're going to look back and say, "You believe that people actually thought you could change genders?" I really hope so. I hope maybe if we last another 100 years at this rate, I don't think we will. But I do know
Well,
that there is a God in heaven, and He's on the throne looking down. And I know He's not pleased with a lot of things going on. But and I know that maybe revivals are on the corner. But nevertheless, we have to be steadfast and. I think it's is it Ephesians 6:9 or Galatians? It says never be weary in well doing. That's advice the Apostle Paul gave us, and I think that's should be our it should be on a T-shirt because a lot of times you do these things and you don't necessarily see a reward right away, and we don't do it for the reward. We do it because it's the right thing to do. But we get a little sometimes we get burned out, but we can't do it because if we stop, then the enemy wins and we lose everything. So how
Well,
about some final we get another 10 seconds or so, 20 seconds.
I
So
just want to
if people
say,
get a hold of
oh yeah, they can reach me at that bestscare@gmail.com. That's my email address. And I just
Okay.
wanted to say, I took a lot of heart in your win at the Supreme Court. That was just a fabulous success.
It
I
was
mean,
and it
that really made a big splash.
and it cost the city a lot of money, not just what they had to pay Liberty Counsel 2.1 million, but they had to pay their own attorneys too. So it was probably close to 3 million. And all they had to do was let us raise the flag. But I think God's hand was on this whole event, and I think it's not just one city, but I think it's motivating people around the country, maybe even around the world. So Beth, I'm looking forward to meet with you in the near future. Keep doing what you're doing, and thank you for coming on. Folks, you've been watching and listening to Catching the Camp Constitution Report, and also Camp Constitution Radio, catchingfire.news. And if you haven't subscribed, please do so. And until next week, may God richly bless you.